I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
I know Andy Farnsworth certainly has his eyes on that snarled traffic issue at the point of the mountain. We're looking at a monitor right here. We see you. So just stay with us. Hang with us. Andy will be jumping in and out, of course, as he always does with the latest on that. We've just had kind of a slew of different traffic-related issues, not necessarily all snow-related. We had that horrible crash, front runner crashing into a cyclist this morning at about 6 o'clock. We're going to have UTA join us in the show to give us the latest on what happened in the downtown area this morning.
And if you live in the Davis County area, you'll remember yesterday was an absolute nightmare from 2:30 until 8:30, at least 8:30. There was a semi-crash. And it had backed things up for hours. It's 9:08. It's time for the launch.
Sequence engaged.
And here are three things that Debbie wants you to know.
Countdown. Three.
We're on water watch. 10:05 this morning, the 700 inches of snow at Brighton Ski Resort in Big Cottonwood Canyon. And we're reporting this morning on Utah's Morning News. There's lots of water in that snowpack. So we're going to go in-depth with KSL meteorologist Kevin Eubank on that. And then we're going to bring emergency preparedness folks into the conversation on flood insurance. Even if you don't live in a designated flood zone, is this something you can purchase in case you're worried, or is it too late?
Yeah, I wonder how many pieces of insurance do I need? Fire, flood, earthquake. There seems to be a never-ending supply of insurance out there for me. Which one do I really need? Because right now, I'm looking up in those mountains. I'm feeling these snowstorms. Flood is at the top of the list.
Countdown.
How about at 9:35 we go live to Mar-a-Lago, where former President Trump is on arrest watch. Don't know if he will be arrested, but he thinks he will be arrested. New York grand jury, as we talked about yesterday, hearing the last of a witness testimony in the case involving some hush money to an adult film star by the name of Stormy Daniels. Now, if the grand jury finds evidence that President Trump was aware the $130,000 in payment were made to keep her quiet during the 2016 election, well, I don't know if we'll have the president hauled off in handcuffs, but he could be delivered a summons to appear.
I do wonder, I'm trying to figure out, okay, it's creepy, right? $130,000 in hush money, don't tell about our secret affair. I mean, that's creepy, no question. Was it illegal? Was it criminal? I still don't know what's wrong with these payments. I remember Bill Clinton paid Paula Jones $850,000 to settle a sexual harassment suit. Like, when is it appropriate? When is it illegal? We'll try to figure out those questions because I'm still scratching my head.
Launch countdown one.
Someone wants the Bible removed from Davis County school libraries. That's the headline in the Deseret News and on KSL.com. And it's our top story, as we're going to go in-depth on why the challenge was made, how this review process works at the district level, and if the reviewers will have to read all 1,200 pages of the most storied book in history.
The Bible is the most produced book in history. It's the most read book in history.
Deb, when you told me about this story, they want the Bible removed from Davis County school libraries, I about detached a retina, rolling my eyes. I mean, that it was like a full-on retinal detachment. It was incredible. Obviously, this is retaliation. You bend one of my books, I'm going to bend one of your books. Is it going to be banned? We'll dive into it.
Dave and Dijanovic.
The launch.
Commence.
Dave and Dijanovic.
Dave and Dijanovic.
Special coverage of the top local story.
I want to know which passage or passages triggered this challenge. We don't know who is challenging it, but we do know the challenge was filed in December. Thanks to the reporting by KSL.com and also the Deseret News teamed up for this story. Hopefully we can find out over the next 20 minutes of our coverage which passages actually triggered this challenge to the Bible.
I know of a few passages that triggered me when I was reading it. You read about Sodom and Gomorrah and then Lot and his daughters. That was a little, you know, like that was a little weird to read in the Bible. Should it be banned? Should we get it out of schools? No, I mean, that's silly, but I want to find out more about this story.
So usually when we hear about these book challenges, and there are more and more book challenges, we're going to dive into that in just a few minutes. You can't believe how many challenges these districts are getting. It's usually about LGBTQ or race issues. This time it's the Bible's turn. And we do know that that the districts have set up committees and to review these books. Because can you imagine trying to read?
Impossible.
1,200 pages. When I read it many years ago in my 30s, and it took me an entire summer. And you have to, it's like, it's...
It can be a slog at times.
You cannot sit down and say,
easy reading.
Page turner, I'm reading this all in one weekend. It's bits and pieces, right?
You don't think the Bible's a page turner?
No, it's just not one of those books. You have to and I think you have to digest it slowly, right? But there are 15 different committees in your school district alone, which is where this challenge is happening, Dave, in the Davis district, set up to handle all of the protests or challenges that they're getting to these books.
Yeah, it's an important conversation because there are certainly books that are appropriate, that are age appropriate, I should say. There are books out there that I do not want my 12-year-old reading right now. Not that I don't want them reading them ever. You know, a lot like movies. There's a rating system. There's appropriate movies. Same thing for books. I don't know why all of a sudden this is like a super edgy conversation to have, to think that there's age-appropriate books, age-appropriate movies, age-appropriate music. But that's what's happening right now.
And libraries, even school libraries, serve all, right? I mean, and there's usually like a, you know, like middle school library and a high school library and then a grade school library. So you
and they're different. They carry different books.
Sure,
absolutely.
Sure. So it's just the Bible. It's not the Quran or the Book of Mormon. It's just the Bible. And you had said something when we were having a discussion as we're coming into studio about, in your mind, certain books of historical proportion kind of get a pass in a way, right?
Yeah, no question. I think of Huckleberry Finn, right? I mean, that is a classic, but it uses language that we would never use now, right? But do you give a pass because in the time it was written, it was appropriate or important? I don't know. I understand, you know, if it's the same rule for this book, it should be the same rule for that book. I understand the argument, but it does, at the same time, it is a stretch.
So which passages sparked this challenge? We're going to ask KSL.com reporter Amy Donaldson, who broke this story along with Deseret News reporter Marjorie Cortez. But Amy's joining the show in just a moment. I mean, is it Genesis chapter 38 verses 12 through whatever, or is it Revelation chapter 17 verses 1, or is it just a secret? Is it just a secret, and the school districts won't share with us, or the school district won't share with us which passages in the Bible came under fire? But we'll ask Amy Donaldson straight ahead.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me, and this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevieve. Dave and DeGenevieve. Special coverage of the top local story.
The Bible is the most produced book in history. It's the most read book in history.
But someone out there wants it banned from school library shelves. Here's the article. It's a collaboration between KSL.com and the Deseret News that we're diving into. The headline says, somebody wants the Bible removed from Davis County school libraries.
They find it inappropriate. Now, what is appropriate is a moving target. Well, what is appropriate for one parent might not be appropriate for another. I remember taking my son to Iron Man. He was pretty young. And as I'm watching the movie with him and Iron Man is mowing through a camp full of terrorists, I had this moment of self-reflection thinking,
Why are we here?
What are we doing here? Like, this is probably not great for a young child. So other people might feel differently, right? We have this sliding scale of what we think is appropriate.
Yeah, we'll get into the particulars with Amy Donaldson of KSL.com. She's one of two reporters who broke this story. The other is Marjorie Cortez with the Deseret News. And just reading the article, I've read it a few times now, just make sure I'm reading it correctly. It looks as though this challenge happened in December, early December, which makes me wonder if the committee that's been in charge of reading this 1,200-page historical piece of work is close to meeting its 60 days, its business days, for review. I don't think they work on weekends and holidays. So let's bring on Amy Donaldson of KSL.com. Great report, Amy. I know you worked really hard on this with Marjorie Cortez over at the Deseret News, read through it. Just off the bat, do we know what passages are being challenged? Has the district released that information to you?
No, actually in the Davis County District, so every district makes their own rules of how to deal with book challenges. And in the Davis District, they do not make the names of the challengers public, nor sort of what they're are they challenging a specific passage, or are they challenging? You can also challenge a book based on its theme, like the overarching theme of this book is too mature for a kid of 15 or whatever. So we don't know. It's not public.
Is it challenged in all schools or like just elementary schools?
So the committee will consider whether or not it's appropriate for any school age kid. And so a couple of books have been retained in high schools only. We don't know where the challenge comes from. Did it come from an elementary school parent? And because of a change in the state law last year, anyone can make a challenge. So I don't have kids in the school. I could make a challenge because I don't like a book at my high school library.
Do they have to be a Utah resident, or can they be from anywhere in the country?
You know, I don't know that it specifies that,
okay.
But part of the issue was that they said there are staff members like a superintendent or a school board member who don't have children in a specific school who may have an issue with something that's being, loaned out to kids. So that's sort of the thinking behind it. We don't even know if the book has been checked out. That's the thing I looked into when I did the story on the Canyons District a couple of years ago. Most of the books that were being challenged had never even been checked out. So I don't know if anyone's checking out the Bible. Maybe this is going to make a run on the Bible. I tend to see this a little bit the way Dave does, and that it's likely not a genuine challenge. Now, it could be. I'm not saying it's not, but we have no way to ask the person. See, in the past, I've been able to call the person making the challenge because Canyons makes those names public.
So some districts do it differently.
Yeah, what's happening? And so, but when you don't know, you're just guessing. But I wonder if we're going to see a whole rash of challenges that are, I don't want to see Barack Obama's autobiography at my kid's school. I don't want to see Ronald Reagan's autobiography at my school. You know, I wonder if you're just going to see a bunch of challenges that are like, hey, if you're going to be offended by this, I'm offended by that. So I don't know.
Amy Donaldson.
I worry about that.
Amy Donaldson with KSL.com. She's one of two reporters who broke the story about the Davis School District reviewing a challenge to the Bible. all 1,200 pages of it. We don't know if it's that or if it's specific passages. Amy's just filling us in on the details that she's learned in her reporting. So let's say the committee that's in charge of reading the Bible to see if it needs to be banned in the Davis School District, Amy, decides, yeah, it needs to be banned. It needs to be removed from library shelves. Does that just impact Davis County Schools,
yes,
or is that a statewide ban then?
No, they only have the authority in their own district. So it just means the Bible would be removed from schools in Davis County. And they could say, we can only have the Bible at high schools, no Bible in elementary school, or vice versa. So they can make it. It's interesting to note in Davis. Davis has had so many challenges that Christopher Williams said they formed 15 committees just to deal with these. And these people are working on nights and weekends, and the district has to buy them the books that are challenged. Most of them don't have the book. So it's a significant impact on what we're asking of our educators and parents and people who are already involved in the school community. I think some people think it's worth it. I think I look at some of it, like what Dave's saying, everyone's, you know, offended by different things. I mean, art is what it is, and it's made in the time that it's made. And so Huckleberry Finn is going to offend somebody now. I go to plays, like I went to Carousel, and I'm like, this play is about domestic violence, and I don't really like how they characterize domestic violence, right? But it's made in the moment it's made, and so you're not going to, you know, you can't change it. It's just, because it was made in that moment. It's just, right. It's a really, I think you're just getting into really, I don't know, dangerous area when you start.
It's also tricky because we have seen Roald Dahl. Some of his books have been changed, yes, and manipulated to be more, I don't know, friendly, inclusive, less offensive. I think we're kind of in this world right now, Debbie and Amy, where we're not quite sure what to do with these books.
Well, and I would just say, I think there's always been banned books. There's always been, you know, art that's caused us trouble. That's the purpose of art. Art is supposed to make you think. It's supposed to make you look at something differently. It's supposed to challenge you. And so if you don't like something, then don't consume it. And the thing that's mind-boggling to me is that this has become such a hot issue for parents, and most kids are not checking books out of the library.
They might not be checking them out, but that's not to say they're not skittering over
Amy,
and looking at them.
I think your point earlier that you can't even know for sure if the Bible has been checked out. I guess we also don't know if the person who submitted the challenge has actually sat down and read it, or if they're just picking passages offline and submitting their concerns over some of the passages.
The other concern, most of the parents, and I've talked to a few of them that have made challenges, they are not reading the books that they are challenging. There's videos out there that tell you which books you should challenge and what passages and what the issues are. And for some people, like, there are movies I have heard about that I know what the problem is, why it's rated R or whatever. And I'm not a shrinking violet or anything, but I don't want to go to that. I don't want to see that. So I just don't go. I don't worry about it. It's if someone else wants to go to it, right? But we have a rating system set up. Maybe we need something like that with books, but honestly, kids are not consuming books the way I wish they would. So, and they're not using the library system the way that we think they are. But it's a really critical role that libraries play, because not only are they like just the keepers of history and the keepers of art, like they need to be there. But there are people who don't have digital access, their parents can't go buy them a book at the local bookstore. And so, I mean, the fact that there are these texts available are really critical. And you may hate the Bible. You may never want to read it. My guess is a lot of kids are now going to be searching through the Bible at what might be.
Thanks, Amy.
Let's get the salacious stuff from the
Amy
from the
Donaldson
Bible.
Of KSL.com. You can read the article at KSL.com or also at DeseretNews.com. And great reporting. The article is very in-depth. We are going to have a live conversation with Chris Williams. You heard Amy mention his name, a spokesperson for the Davis District, in the 11 o'clock hour. Need to ask him that important question, like, when will the review be wrapped up?
Yeah, and I want to learn more about these committees. How do they function? Is it a committee of two? Is it a committee of 20?
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.